Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, let's understand something further about the Apostle Paul and his teachings and what he brought to the Gentiles. And let's understand that he did not deviate one thing from any of the commandments of God or Jesus Christ. Now, this becomes important for the Christian Passover because it must be observed on the day that God has commanded, 14th day of the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. And it must be done in the manner that Jesus gave. And this is why the Apostle Paul said that he received from the Lord that which he delivered to the Corinthians and taught them. Now, he reinforces this right at in the very first verse of chapter 11 that we covered last time concerning taking the bread and taking the wine. He says, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 11, "Be imitators of me, exactly as I also am of Christ." Is that what you do? Do you consider yourself a Christian? How do you define being a Christian? Are you following what the Apostle Paul teaches? Let's see how he uses the word here, the same Greek word, to imitate. Let's see what the measure of the standard of our conduct is to be with the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God within us. How are we to pattern our lives? Verse 1, Ephesians 5. Now, I want you to think on this. I want you to think, what am I doing with my life? And how am I conforming it to the Word of God, the truth of God, the laws of God, the writings of the New Testament? Now notice what he says here, verse 1. "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Now think about that for a minute. If you're going to imitate God, what is your behavior going to be like? Well, it's going to be like Jesus Christ. And everything that God does is based on love. And the greatest loving thing that God has done, has provided through the Passover sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, so that you and I and all human beings eventually can have their sins forgiven and understand why they're here and where they're going and why God has created human beings in the first place. Now, you need to go on Church at Home and go through the segments again. Why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God? Now, true enough, we need to have our sins forgiven, and the forgiveness of sin does not come without the sacrifice of Christ. And that sacrifice on the Passover day was so profound. That is actually the foundation of the well-known scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life." And that's one of the most well-known verses, John 3:16. And yet people really don't understand it. Oh, they parrot it, like a parrot, Pollywanna cracker.
"God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son."
No. What does that mean? And how profound of an act of love that it was on the part of the Father and the Son. Now, Let's come here to 1 John, 4th chapter, because before we get into the details of the body and blood of Christ and what he did on the day that he was sacrificed while he was hanging on the cross, we've got to understand about the love of God in that. Because as Paul wrote, that at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then he says, maybe a good man would die for someone, but he died for the ungodly. He died for those who sinned. Because as God of the Old Testament, the one who became Jesus Christ was the one who gave the law of sin and death in all human beings because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And we are sinners by nature and guilty before God by nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God has provided the perfect sacrifice and the perfect forgiveness for you through his love. So let's read it here. Verse 5, they are of the world. That is speaking of the false prophets that are in this world. And John wrote, there are many antichrist claiming to bring a message from Christ. They are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world and the world listens to them. You want to know why there's the broad way of the Christianity of this world? Right there. The world listens to them. The world believes their lie. And they sound so good. They sound so pleasing to human nature. But it's not pleasing to God. Now notice, those who have the Spirit of God, this is the Apostle John writing, we are of God. Are you of God? Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you understand the Word of God? Do you keep the Christian Passover, the New Covenant Passover? Let's read on. The one who knows God listens to us. Now we are to know God, and we know God by keeping his commandments. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of deception. And that's exactly what's out there in the world. Spirit of the truth, which comes with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and the spirit of deception, which is the counterfeit, uses parts of the Word of God, throws away other parts of the Word of God, and brings you a message that is nice and soft and cuddly and purring and wonderful. But it's not true. Verse 7. Beloved, we should love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been begotten by God and knows God. Is that you? Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you really love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? That's what's required for the new covenant. It's not just a matter of ritual. It's not just a matter of going to church. What good does it go to church if you don't know God? What good does it do to violate the commandments of God and say you're delivered to do so and say you love God? No, you don't. You may have a feeling, but you really don't love God. Let's go on. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. How do we know the love of God? Well, here, verse 9 ties right in with John 3 and verse 16. And this is the greatest act of love that God could do. He could not give a greater sacrifice than Jesus Christ. He could not have risked anything of greater value and virtue and truth than to have Jesus come in the flesh. In this way, the love of God has been manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this act is the love, literal translation. Not that we loved God, rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sent him to be the perfect sacrifice, that in us we could be made the righteousness of God. There's not something. So then it shows how our lives need to be based on love. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And let's see what it says here concerning what Jesus did. Now, some people will say, well, why did God create us and so we have all of this terrible human nature and all of these evil things happen? Well, he set before man life and death and good and evil. And Adam and Eve chose the way of death by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, how is God going to undo what they did, considering that he has given us a nature that has the law of sin and death in us? What is it that God is going to do? Can he just by fiat take it away? No. God came in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh, took upon him human nature, and became that perfect sacrifice. So let's read it here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin. He experienced no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The perfect life of Christ makes the payment for your sins. But that doesn't give us license to sin. No, indeed. We're to grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in love and grow in truth and grow in understanding, grow in the use of the Spirit of God. And all of those things are there. Now let's find something else out, because someone's surely going to say, well, you know, Jesus could not understand what it's like to go through what I go through. However bad it's been in your life, God can forgive it and God can heal it and God can make it right. So let's come to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Let's understand something about the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God is printed in the Bible. That's true. But Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Meaning that the words, though they're printed, have greater meaning because there is a spiritual power behind them that gives us life. Now let's come here to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God, now this is talking about the printed word, but Jesus was also called the Word. Let's see what it says about the word of God, because there's no other book that can do this, and this is why it's important to understand for the Christian Passover. Because through the sacrifice of Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. But we have to confess our sins to God. We have to repent of our sins, and we have to turn to go God's way and imitate God and follow God and do what God wants us to do, to follow what Christ has taught. Not what we think is convenient or good, not because we have something we can add to the Word of God that we feel will improve it. How can you improve something that is perfect? You can't do it. But here's what the Word of God does when you read it. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, and of both the joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. The Word of God exposes that, and the Passover sacrifice of God removes that. changes that, converts that. It applies to everything. It's just not for those people who go to church or for those who don't go to church. It applies to everyone. Verse 13, there is not a created thing that is not manifest in his sight, because he created it. He knows how he put it together. He knows how everything works and functions. There is not a created thing that is not manifest in his sight. That means everything. Everything that is created, because he created it. And that means he also understands you. He also understands your sins, your troubles. Now remember, he became sin for us, that is, the sin offering, for the sacrifice, for the sins of the whole world. Now you need the rest of God's plan in order to understand when it's going to be applied to the rest of the world. That's why we have the book of Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? So that you can know what the holy days of God are. Now let's continue here, because this is important with the Passover. But all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account, because everyone's going to have to give an account to Jesus Christ. And he's going to look you in the eyes and say, what did you do with your life? And he's going to know every bit of it. See, because everything you do in your life has been recorded upon the spirit of man that you have in your mind. Everything that you are, that you have thought, your experiences that you go through. And only the Spirit of God can clean up the spirit of man and all the sins that have been recorded therein. Notice how great Jesus is. Having therefore a great high priest at the right hand of God. One who is ready to forgive, willing to forgive, wanting to forgive, but you must first repent. And repentance is not just a one-time thing. No, repentance is daily, because we need our minds converted, and we need to grow in grace and knowledge. And so once we receive the Holy Spirit of God, we are to grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in love and grow in understanding. And that way then we begin imitating Christ. We begin imitating God. And we are walking in love. And we understand the great love that God has for us in providing this sacrifice, that we can get on our knees and we can say, Father, forgive me. And enumerate your sins. Confess them to God. He's faithful. He's just. He will forgive. Because Christ is the living sacrifice, the Passover Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we should hold fast to the confession of our faith. Don't get discouraged. Confess your sins. Get rid of your sins. Have the blood of Christ remove them. Now, we'll talk about that because we need to talk a little more about the body and blood of Christ. But we need to understand what it is that Jesus did to become that perfect sacrifice through being the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world to take away the sin of the world. Now, notice, for we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations, yet he was without sin. Because you see, in the body of Jesus Christ, in the flesh of Jesus Christ, God condemned sin in the flesh while Christ was hanging on the cross. Now, this gives you access to God. Verse 16, therefore we should come with boldness to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need that every day, don't we? Yes, indeed. Let's come to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. This was a special thing that God did, a special covenant between God the Father and Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the one who said, I've created man and woman and all things. I will be the sacrifice for their sins. I will divest myself of my glory, my power, and I will become a human being. Receive into me the very human nature that I gave to them. I will make this a just sacrifice. I will make this a perfect sacrifice. I will overcome Satan, the devil, and all sin so that whoever repents, that you, Father, can take my sacrifice and apply my shed blood and my broken body to their lives so that they can receive your Holy Spirit and become one with us. Now that is profound. So here, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 4. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. For this reason, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but you have prepared a body for me for that sacrifice. You did not delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin. Then I said, this is God talking. This is the one who became Jesus Christ. Lo, I come, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book, to do your will, O God. Are you willing to do the will of God? Whose will do you want to follow? The will of God, the will of Christ, or the will of man? Now you see why God does not want men to come along and add to what he has done that is perfect. Let's see what his sacrifice did. Let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter, and why we can come before God in confidence, in faith, in love, in understanding, to do what God wants us to do, and how that God will blot out your sins. He will apply the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ to you because he condemns sin in the flesh. Now, Romans 8 and verse 3. For what was impossible for the law to do, that is through the animal sacrifices, ended it was weak through the flesh. And always remember this, law can tell you right and wrong, but it can't make you do something. You have to choose to do it, see. God, having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and that means the exact sameness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, in the very body of Jesus Christ, because he, as the Lord God of the Old Testament, before he was manifested as God in the flesh, created mankind and gave them the consequences of their sin, the law of sin and death within their members, and so that passed to all the descendants. Now, this is the only sacrifice to take care of the law of sin and death in us. That's why Jesus had to have human nature like we do. Otherwise, he couldn't be tempted. Otherwise, there would be no way that Satan the devil could tempt him or any temptation that could come along. And how could he identify and empathize with every temptation that we go through unless he himself was tempted in every way that we are and yet without sin? That's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why we are to keep the New Covenant Christian Passover. Now, you need to understand these in depth. You need the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. You need the book, A Called Holidays, God's Holy Days. These things will help clear out all of the false teachings of the Christianity of this world. Thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and we have many in-depth sermons that will help you in your Christian growth and overcoming and changing and being able to do the things that please God the Father and Jesus Christ. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.